This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Another big element to this, and that's been argued, has been his treatment in the Westville Correctional Facility. He has now been moved. Richard Allen has been moved to Wabash Valley Correctional Facility just the other week. What's your take on that and the reasoning behind it? It seems like a fairly lateral move from most accounts. He's not going to the county jail, which is really where he should be. We moved him to another prison.
Totally lateral move. That's exactly what I called it. Did you read my tweet?
Yeah, I think I came up with that one. I read your other tweets, but I don't remember that one. But yeah.
Yeah, it was 100% a lateral move. It's like, you know, I mean, you're moving him further away from everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't understand the move. And beyond that, like, they didn't follow the statute. Like, there's a rule pertaining to moving him. And, you know, and it relates to if they're concerned about his health and safety and like actual life, if they believe he's in danger, that's a reason to move him. Or if they believe that he's a threat to others.
Yeah.
But either way, it requires them to have a hearing in front of a judge. So the attorney general is the one who basically just said, all right, you know what? We're going to move him. And they did it under cover of darkness. And no one knew it was coming, as far as I know. I know that Rick's wife, Kathy Allen, did not know.
Yeah.
Because I'm the one who informed her. I'm like, oh, did you know that they moved Rick? And she's like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, they moved him to Wabash Valley. So I don't know what to make of it, man. Like, it's another really, really odd thing in a series of really, really odd events that have gone on with this case.
It's almost like people are covering up for covering up. And now it's like there's not really a rhyme or reason to some of it. It feels like it's just, well, there's all this criticism over here from everybody that he's at this prison. We should move him to another one. Let's just do it. Yeah, let's do it tonight.
I know. I mean, that's how I feel. Are not like conspiracy guys.
No.
You know, like, but neither one of us are. And like, I can't help but think about conspiracies in this case. It's so unusual. I've just never seen anything like it. And Tony, like that case I handled in Nebraska, it was a cluster F, man. It was a nightmare. It was so similar in so many ways. But this is even beyond that.
Yeah.
Like just everything that's gone on. And it's like, it's really tough to kind of figure out where the truth lies in this thing. And is this some kind of like cover up of some kind, or are they?
And what is being covered up? I mean, is it something big that's being covered up, or is it just something like somebody screwed something up fairly small to begin with, and then the cover up just, you know, it snowballs and turns into this?
I guess it could be either.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, if it was a like a cover up in any way, shape, or form, I would think that it wouldn't necessarily be a cover up per se, but that at some point that they realized that they don't have a case against this guy. Like Nick McClelland is like, dude, you guys just didn't get me anything else on this guy. What, like, because you had to know that they were fully expecting to go in. Because I believe that when they arrested him, that they chose to ignore the Odinist dudes.
Yeah.
They felt that this guy was the guy, and that they felt very secure in the fact that post-arrest investigation, that they were going to dig up some connections either to other assailants, whether it be even these Odinist guys or any, but like Logan, whoever people have thrown out there, you know, but they were going to find some link to either another assailant or some proof that he had made contact with Abby and Libby in some way, shape, or form, or all kinds of like child pornography sites on it, like something that would give them the teeth that they needed to, you know, get this thing across the finish line. And we know from the memo that did not happen. I mean, they say it flat as day, like plain as the nose on your face, that they didn't find anything on any of his electronics. relating to Odinism, relating to the girls, relating to meeting the girls. They didn't find any DNA at the crime scene that is attached to Richard Allen at all. They didn't find any fingerprints or DNA on the unspent casing that matches Richard Allen. Like, they got nothing.
Yeah.
Like, after the investigation, at least from what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And the defense is not going to lie about that. No. I know that people like to think that the defense is making it up or they're posturing. There is no way that licensed attorneys, that their entire career hangs in the balance, is going to file pleadings knowingly, like, lying about things that are in the discovery. They're just not going to do it. It's just, unless they want to lose their entire way that they make a living and their entire reputation and families are going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I'm just telling you flat out, these guys are not Alec Murdoch.
Yeah.
Okay. These guys are a couple of guys that have been practicing collectively for 50 years that have sterling reputations, that have never been disciplined by any commission anywhere. And they're two guys that are really trying the hell out of this case. And that's it. I don't know, man. What is going on in this case? I wish I knew. I really do. But to me, it just feels like that they are so far over their skis and they are so deep into this case. And they've already told the victims' families. They had their press conferences about, this is the guy. And they've told the families, and Nick McClelland's told the families, this is the guy. We're confident. And what do you do when you're midstream or beyond that, and you figure out you don't have the guy? Now, an ethical attorney would say, I'm sorry, Rick Allen. We
gotta walk it back. Yeah.
I gotta walk it back, man. But it just never happens. I've seen it happen. I can count it on my hands, the number of times I've seen prosecutors walk back a case where they got the wrong guy. You know, so I just think they're too deep in and they're desperate, man. And like I said, I think on the last time, I think that Gull's real motive wasn't to get these guys off the case because she thought they were grossly negligent. She may not have liked the defense, but she knew that that's not a reason you can take them off the case. She took them off the case because they were going to be ready to go to trial at that point, 2 months, which for her is a terrifying prospect, Tony, because she has to get everything that's been filed and has not been heard before that trial date, because there are no continuances unless the defendant agrees to it.
Yeah.
So that means McClelland can't go in and say, Your Honor, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. It's going to be tough tootsies, man.
Yep.
You got to go. It's time to go to trial. So, and the same with the judge. She's got to hear everything that's been filed and anything that would be filed in the next 2 months. She's got to work through the holidays. She's going to spend Christmas Eve in our courtroom, being miserable and furious and hating these two guys that have, you know, so it's like she bought herself and the state a year by that move, by moving. Just look at the facts, look at what the result was and use your own common sense.
Yeah.
In terms of trying to put that together.
The facts are there. They were ready. And the state wasn't, and it makes a hell of a lot more sense that way than any of the other conspiracy theories.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, The public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.